So maybe I'll just read you a little bit, just as we finish, I'll read you a little bit of his teaching. This is from a book called Jewish Spiritual Growth, The Step-by-Step Guide of a Hasidic Master. And it was translated by a man called Yaakov David Shulman. And so this is really a series of letters from him to a disciple, really. So he's talking about the nature of inner work. My father explains in his holy work that if you experience holy thought only occasionally and briefly, it is not even called a thought, and it cannot bring you closer to God and sanctify you. What is needed is a thought that you engage in at length. And we see through the writings of Noam Elimelech that when he directs a person to engage in thought, he usually doesn't use the verb think, but words such as imagine and visualize. For example, in the first paragraph of his book, The Small Note, he says, imagine and visualize that a great and awesome fire is burning before you, reaching up to the heavens. And for the sake of God's holiness, you break your nature and cast yourself into that fire in order to sanctify God. Similarly, in paragraph 2 of the small note and so forth, as well as in the petition before prayer that he composed, he says, may our thoughts be pure, clear, lucid and powerful. So we can see it's vital that our thoughts are like that. And our thought cannot be powerful without imagery. If we see that, look at the Zohar, which refers to the imaginative soul, right after it discusses the thinking soul. And see the book of the Rambam, which states that when people describe the soul as being divided into different parts, they're only describing its different activities, but in essence the soul is one. And in a way, in my book on the soul, I describe the five parts, the Nefesh, the Ruach, the Neshama, the Kaya, and the Yechidah. We do not have five holy souls within ourselves, only one. And according to how high a part it is and how much light it shed, it has a specific name. In a way, the Zohar's essay describes the Sefirot as being one long, one short, and one in between. Even though this division only refers to the level on which they are revealed and from which they spread their influences below. In other words, the Zohar doesn't mean to say that there is a thinking soul and a visualizing soul. Rather, at first, when our soul's activity is weak, only a small part of it expresses itself, and it thinks. But when we activate more of it, it also shows us images. I noted in my essay that if you have a weak thought about some enemy who has insulted you, you don't visualize his face. But if you think about him more forcefully, you do visualize his face. And in addition, you recall what he said to you and the circumstances in which this occurred. All this is called visualizing. As I said there, forceful thought and imagination are one and the same. The only difference is that some things you can visualize in images, such as a house, a person, etc., but other things you cannot see in your mind's eye, such as words. And so you recall these things with a forceful thought alone. But both are called visualization. And so the emotion of soul reveals itself only against a background of thought. Thus, only if you think and ruminate on the evil that somebody did to you with a forceful thought will you arouse your feelings of anger. In other words, the extent of feeling depends on how forcefully and extensively you think about something. Thus, if you want to expand your knowledge, you must fill your mind with many different facts and concepts. In the same way, if you want to expand your thinking ability so that you can concentrate at length and forcefully, you must fill your mind with many different visual images. I stress this must be a variety of images. This is because, first of all, you will not expand your ability to think and visualize on the basis of one image alone. Also, by their nature, thought and mental image only remain in your mind when you add new images. For instance, you can only hold the thought of the evil that someone did to you if you imagine what he was thinking, how he prepared himself, exactly how he raised his hand against you, exactly what he said to you, and so forth. Therefore, if you want to manifest your holy thoughts on a holiday or on the Sabbath, strengthen your holy thoughts about the holiday or the Sabbath. In order to do so, it doesn't suffice to simply think that the holiday or the Sabbath is holy, because you can neither hold that thought for long nor make it forceful. Instead, you must fill your thoughts with images and contemplate these forcefully. Think about that which is not visual with powerful concentration. Visualize those that are visual as though they are literally standing before you. Only in this way will you manifest your soul's emotions. Even when your thought is not feeling emotional, with such thoughts you can awaken into feeling. Rabbi Elimelech suggests, in order to arouse your thought, imagine you are standing in the temple. Imagine the altar, the building containing the Holy of Holies, and so forth. This will lead you to total clarity and clinging, this is devakut, to God, making it possible for you to pray with great feeling, with awe and love, as though you were standing in the Holy of Holies. He stresses you should not have just a forceful thought, but a powerful visualization, as though you are actually seeing this. Thus, thought, image, and visualization affect your soul. Not only that, they make it possible for your soul to cling to holiness outside of itself and to draw down that holiness from above, so much that we cannot even imagine how much this does for us and how high we can rise. This is discussed in the book called The Light of Wisdom, written by the Khidar's grandfather, which is his commentary on the Zohar, in which he cites Rabbi Moses, Kovdadvoro, meditate upon the wisdom that you learned from your mentor, see him in your mind's eye, cling to him soul to soul. As Rabbi Abba tells us in the Zohar, when he had a question, he would visualize the image of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and the answer would shine upon him. This is the concept of soul clinging to soul, and you can only visualize something on the basis of something that you've physically seen. So concentrate on that form, the image of your teacher. As a result, you will arouse his soul and his wisdom, and you'll reach levels you've never before reached. You require thought together with visualization. Only then can you cling to the holiness that you are imaging, and through that holiness, Torah and new insights will be drawn down to you from above. So that's a sort of little glimpse, in a way, of his teachings. That he and what he does is, and I'll talk more about him tomorrow, but he teaches very powerfully and directly about how you work with thought, emotion, and image to create these aspects of transformation that then do elevate the soul into the supernal kind of levels. And he's a surprisingly, he was a teacher in the 1930s, so he's taking the kind of, died in middle life, of course, because of the war. But you see, this is somebody who really understands some about the nature of really working with the tree on kind of inner levels. I'll talk a little bit more about him tomorrow, but his, what he's addressing is this topic that we've just been looking at, of these occluded, intense, deeply buried things that have to be worked with quite directly and clearly. And that interesting thing of, you have to stay long with the thought that you're trying to incarnate, embody, which means not just trying to prolong it, but you keep returning to it, keep working with it. So that it impacts this kind of dense mass of that's there in the occluded place. Okay. So let's just take a moment just to breathe together before we finish for the day. Just being aware of the presence of the angels, of Raphael and Michael, Gabriel and Uriel. Being aware of the name. And being aware of ourselves as the embodiment of the name. And this bringing your attention back out. Thanks very much, everybody. Have a good evening, and we'll reconvene at 10 o'clock tomorrow, and see what comes next.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, guys. Bye-bye.